Lashana Toba Tiki Tevu. May you be inscribed for a good year. And welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with the love of my life, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you and bless you, darling. And shalom to all. And yes, we pray you have already been inscribed in his book of life, because then every year is a good year. Rosh Hashanah is officially over. The traditional Hebrew New Year of the kind of miscalculated 5781 is now here, and we are now in the high holy days leading to the end of the 40-day season of Teshuvah on Yom Kippur, or Day of Atonement, coming up next week beginning at sundown Sunday till Monday at sundown. So instead of meeting you in the air, we are instead back on the air during the most solemn time on the Jewish calendar. And Yom Kippur, just like Rosh Hashanah, with all its history and typology, again, all points to Christ. In fact, Yom Kippur has even more. Which is why, if you say you are called by his name, you really should learn about his appointments. Now let's praise our Father.
Abba, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name and all your names. Lord Yeshua, you are our high priest that we honor and adore, for without you, we are nothing. Guide us by the light of your Holy Spirit in this increasingly dark world. We continue to always lift up our loved ones that need your salvation. We also beseech your healing power on any ailing listeners tonight, and for those particular requests recently given to us. We pray wisdom and strength for our president as he combats his many evil enemies. We repent for any unpleasing behaviors and any unforgiveness we might be holding towards anyone. Most of all, if any have lost their first love, may it be in this new year totally restored as we praise your holy name. Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we're still here.
We are indeed. And based on our current climate, that's a troublesome thought. But it also means more souls will be saved, even though lawlessness keeps increasing and now will surely continue with the death on Rosh Hashanah of the Jewish but very liberal Ruth Ginsburg of our Supreme Court, who was a champion for women's rights, but sadly, also a champion of abortion, even infanticide.
Well, you know, child murdering is a sacrifice to Satan.
And in fact, a core value of demon worshiping. And so now, these leftists are infuriated over the thought that a hater of abortion could now be appointed to the Supreme Court.
Well, you know, Ginsburg also supported legalizing prostitution
and had a soft heart for pedophiles based on her past statements. We continue to see a deepening downhill shift in all variations of immorality.
And now in California, they just lowered the sexual consent age to 14.
To help pedophiles as we watch their state burning. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, the far-left Dems, of course, want to wait till after the election to replace her seat, thinking they will win, so to then nominate a very far-left liberal. However, President Trump says he will move fast to appoint a conservative woman, probably Judge Amy Barrett from Indiana.
Well, that's Vice President Pence's home state.
It is. But it is concerning how far America has gone down the rabbit hole of evil. Can she pull herself out when the Bible says evil continues to get worse? Let's pray we get a little reprieve by Trump's re-election, especially since the Remnant Church of Philadelphia, we're still here.
Yeah, it's Revelation chapter 3, beginning in verse 7.
That's right. In fact, let's read one of those verses, actually, verse 10, since we are still here. Let's rule out any doubts of a still future rapture.
Because you have kept my command to to persevere.
In other words, we have practiced patience in waiting for him.
I will also keep you from the hour of trial.
Yeah, 7 years is like an hour. It's a short time to God. And in fact, in Revelation 17:12, John confirms that and refers to those 10 horns only having authority with the beast for 1 hour. So we know that's 7 years.
Which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth.
Notice he said the whole world at the same time. The only other time this happened was in Noah's day. And Jesus said it will be as the days of Noah, which, although, has a variety of implications. But the phrase, those who dwell on the earth, is one of those idiomatic expressions, meaning those left behind, or the unrighteous. Earth dwellers means those who worship the earth more than God. We are just aliens and sojourners till he returns at the end of the tribulation, and we will be with him to set up his earthly kingdom.
Colossians 3, verse 4.
I can hardly wait.
Okay, you can send your end time question by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are still very much needed and greatly appreciated, which automatically puts you on our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your added learning.
Okay, so after Rosh Hashanah comes Yom Kippur, which is all about being sure your name is written in the Book of Life. Now, before Jesus came, their names would be in the Book of Life if they were righteous in that they had a heart for God and believed he would send the Messiah. And now, since Yeshua came, those who believe that God did fulfill his promise and therefore have accepted Christ into our hearts, our names are written in the Book of Life. So, this would be a good time to read the words of Jesus in Luke 10:19.
Look, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions,
meaning demons,
and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven.
And we certainly do rejoice. And no matter what you are going through, no one can steal the joy of our salvation. Mm-hmm. So cherish it. Keep it close. Being careful, though, to avoid all forms of evil. For the enemy watches you like a hawk for even the most tiniest entrance to tempt your flesh.
Well, that's so very true.
So right now we are in the 7 days of awe, Tishri 3 through 10, that ends Sunday at sundown on Yom Kippur. At the end of the seven-year tribulation, Jesus will literally and personally fulfill Yom Kippur upon his second coming back to earth.
Well, just like he kept the spring appointments during Passover with his death, burial, and resurrection.
And then also kept Pentecost by sending the Holy Spirit as recorded in Acts chapter 2.
So, what is the Jewish meaning of the word awe, A-W-E?
It's like having an element of fearful trembling because it is a typological picture of the coming judgment of the 7 years of the tribulation period, when repentance during this time is of the utmost importance before the gates are closed and Yeshua shows up.
Again, you know, this is big time typology.
Particularly affecting those left behind because they never made Jesus Lord over their life. This typology is called the awesome days that Joel speaks of in chapter 2, verse 11.
The day of the Lord is great and very awesome. Who can endure it?
Joel is actually prophesying of the future dark days of the tribulation before the light of Yeshua returns. Every year during these days, called Yamim Noraim in Hebrew are the final days of the 40 days of Teshuvah that we've recently been talking a lot about. These high holy days are the connecting days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, where the Israelites from the Old Testament and still the Orthodox Jews today believe that during these final days, if they haven't repented, especially for any unforgiveness, before Yom Kippur at sundown and turn around more to God, their name would be taken out of the Book of Life with possible death on the horizon.
So it's a very serious time.
Yes, and as a type of the tribulation, you can see why it is a very serious time.
A last chance, you might say.
So much prayer goes on during this week, and why the common greeting during this season and how we open the program is L'Shana Tova Tikitevu.
May you be inscribed for a good year.
Because it also implies may their name be in the Book of Life. So this week is a very big deal to the Jewish communities. Then on Yom Kippur, from Saturday at sundown to Sunday at sundown, they observe a complete fast, which is the only mandatory 24-hour fast that God told them to do in Leviticus 23, verse 27. They were to afflict their souls, and fasting, well, that can be afflicting.
But, it does have some health benefits as well.
It does. So, along with extra prayers that day, if you'd like to fast, of course you can, but only if you want to, because it is no longer required of His church. A big hint that actually helps me endure a long fast is to eliminate all carbs the day before to lessen any hunger pains. Or you might like to just do a partial fast just to recognize this future appointment that Jesus will keep when He returns at the end of the tribulation at the closing of heaven's gates called the Nilah.
Matthew 24 and 31 says, He will return at the great trumpet sound, which is blown on Yom Kippur.
And for sure, in the Jubilee year, which it surely will be when Christ returns, Leviticus 25:9, and another huge clue, because the great trumpet is an idiom for Yom Kippur. You know, like the last trumpet is an idiom for Rosh Hashanah's Feast of Trumpets.
So again, typology. The seven high holy days, Tishri 3:9, is a picture for repentance, imperative, during the seven-year tribulation.
For sure. Repentance and acceptance of Jesus is of the highest degree for those who have been left behind. For if they don't, before Revelation 19, when He returns to earth on Yom Kippur, it's too late. The gates are now closed.
Again, called the Nilah.
Mm-hmm. Those who do accept Christ are called tribulation saints, where many will die from plagues, weather catastrophes, pestilence, or be martyred. So be sure to tell those who you surmise might be entering the tribulation to repent quickly as soon as they recognize that what you said would happen has come true. Saints, if you are informing them right now, then they have a better chance to recognize what they need to do. Don't let them be ignorant where they might believe the lie. We really have an important job to do before the time runs out.
Amen.
According to Jewish thought, God assesses the deeds of each person on Yom Kippur and decides their fate for the coming year. And from our Judeo-Christian root studies, Jesus will keep that appointment to literally fulfill it at His second coming at the end of the tribulation. And to those who have not repented and worshiped the beast, their names will not be in the Book of Life.
But we, as His church, has the spiritual kingdom right now in our hearts.
For sure. Jesus, for us, has already spiritually fulfilled all seven. But now we await His literal, physical fulfillment as well.
Well, you know, the typology of the fall feast concerning the last day scenario is really mind-blowing.
Oh, it's actually breathless when correctly comprehended. Another clue of Jesus' return on Yom Kippur is prophesied in Matthew 24:30, because it says, all eyes will see him, which implies face to face, as what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13:12.
For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face.
Paul is giving us a great clue, as he often does. Just like he stated that the rapture would be at the last trump in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul is also telling us, when you connect the dots, that Jesus' second coming to earth is like when Moses first used this idiom in Exodus 33:11 by saying he saw God face to face. Even though it was God's back, he talked person to person with him.
And that was Moses' second return from being with God.
I know, right? Moses is a picture of Jesus who came down from being with God the second time, which was calculated to be on Yom Kippur.
Well, you know, the pieces fit perfectly.
Oh, and there's still more. Mm-hmm. Israel's high priest could only enter into the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur to atone for the sins of Israel. And it, too, even with all the smoke, was termed as seeing God face to face.
No wonder it's an idiom for Yom Kippur.
Exactly. So to repeat, Jesus fulfills his fifth appointment of Rosh Hashanah, or Feast of Trumpets, at the resurrection slash rapture. Then he returns after our seven-year honeymoon on Yom Kippur, thus keeping the sixth appointment out of seven that God made with man way back in Leviticus 23.
Then there's only one left, the Feast of Tabernacles.
When Jesus, also on his birthday of Tishri 15, ushers in the millennial kingdom that we will discuss next week.
By the way, you know, Jesus' real birthday in 2020 is October 2nd.
At sundown.
At sundown till October 3rd at sundown.
I know. Remember, God organized detailed requirements for his first chosen Hebrew people with definite customs using particular phrases so that Jesus, who was also Jewish, would use in order to give us huge clues so to learn how it will be with us. And Paul confirms this to us in Romans 15:4.
That the things written before is for our learning.
Okay, time to confirm with Scripture. Please read Leviticus 23:27-28.
The tenth day of this seventh month,
which is Tishrei,
the day of atonement, it shall be a holy convocation,
meaning rehearsal,
for you shall afflict your souls,
a term they used for fasting,
and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. And you shall do no work on that same day, for it is the day of atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God.
And also do verse 32.
It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict your souls. On the ninth day of the month at evening, from evening to evening, you shall celebrate your Sabbath.
Hebrew for Sabbath is Shabbaton, meaning an extra Sabbath. Therefore, another name for Yom Kippur is called the Fast. And in Hebrew, Yom Kippur means the Day of Atonement. Because in Exodus 32, Moses said that he would go up the mountain to pray atonement for the people. Because of the golden calf, remember? And he returned with the new tablets on Yom Kippur, as Jesus will also return on a Yom Kippur with the new covenant. Now, it's also called the Day of Judgment to the unrighteous goats, the Antichrist and the false prophet. It's also called the Day of Redemption for the righteous sheep, Matthew 25, who will then enter his kingdom fulfilling the Feast of Tabernacles. Again, it's also referred to as the Great Shofar, which is only blown in Yom Kippur. So let's quick recap on this. There are three idioms for three shofars blown on certain feasts. The first trump is for Pentecost, Exodus 19. The last trump is the Feast of Trumpets, Leviticus 23, and the great trump is for Yom Kippur, Leviticus 25, in anticipation of a coming Jubilee year. Now let's talk about the two goats, of which One would be offered up to the Lord, but the other goat, a scapegoat, was for the sins of Israel, as commanded in Leviticus 16:21, where it says, Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of a live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of Azazel, the scapegoat, and shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. According to the writings of Enoch and confirmed by the Dead Sea Scrolls, Azazel was the name of one of the leaders of the fallen angels who descended on Mount Hermon, which remained a gathering place of demonic gods from ancient days. And the same area where Jesus in Matthew 16:18 proclaimed while pointing to the caves in Mount Hermon of the god named Pan that the gates of hell shall not prevail over the church. You know, Dan and I visited the foot of this mountain, and in defiance of the devil, we were baptized in front of those caves at the mouth of the Jordan River and openly proclaimed Christ. And believe me, that was an exhilarating time. Anyhow, according to Enoch, this fallen angel named Azazel specifically taught men the art of warfare, of making swords, knives, shields, and armor, and taught the women the art of ornamenting the body, dyeing the hair, painting the face, and also revealed to the people the secrets of witchcraft, leading them into wickedness and impurity, until at last he was, at the Lord's command, bound hand and foot by an archangel and chained to the jagged rocks of Tartarus, where he is to abide in utter darkness until the great day of judgment, when they will all be let out on the earth. You can read about that in Jude 6, 2 Peter 2:4, Revelation 9, Isaiah 26, but will finally, at the end, be cast into the fire forever. According to the Mishnah, which is the historical writings by Josephus, a red sash was tied to the scapegoat named Azazel when led out to the wilderness, where the sash was then placed on a nearby rock. After the goat was pushed over the cliff, the red sash would turn white, showing their sins were atoned for. They would then wave it as they went back to the temple and tied it to the front door. Now, the Mishnah also states around 40 years before the destruction of the temple, so around the time of Jesus' death, the sash stopped turning white. Why? Because Jesus freed them. The goat was no longer needed, which is also why the temple would soon be destroyed. Joel 2:15 uses Yom Kippur terminology, and I have to read it quickly. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breasts, let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Now this matches Isaiah 26:20 that I encourage you to read. I have to leave you with the ironic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So, till next time, Sha'aluz Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, well, you're going to prosper in a lot of different ways. And that, of course, is Psalm 122, verse 6. I know this was a lot of information. I wanted to get it all in, but don't forget you can re-listen to this on my webpage, shofarministries.net, which will be archived on there for your extra learning. And then you can even pause it and take some notes and get it all into yourself a little bit better. Anyway, God bless you, and we'll see you next time. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.